future. Our investors require that of us. I think society wants a Pfizer to be doing what we do in 20 years. We make portfolio management decisions.
There is an increasing recognition that antibiotics are not a good thing to run off a pure capitalistic market. Okay, we need to switch from an entrepreneurial business model where you maximize sales to other payer mechanisms where the goal is society can say, we want these kinds of antibiotics developed and we're going to help you out. We're going to decrease your cost and risk. In return, on the back end, we're going to have some say in how it's used so it doesn't get abused.
When news arrived that a strange virus had spread from Wuhan, China, no one imagined what would happen in the weeks ahead. At first, COVID-19 was not taken seriously. Yet, within just 3 months, it placed the busiest cities in the world under total quarantine. The global economy faced crisis, and one social upheaval after another became apparent. There was no clear prospect for vaccine development, and politicians tried to speculate about the origin of the virus. Although the source of COVID-19 remains uncertain, transmission from animals to humans is considered one of the serious hypotheses. Some link it to human interference in the environment, while others believe its spread resembles that of SARS, MERS, and Ebola, dangerous viruses that in recent decades have disrupted the course of human life. Precisely at a time when no new antibiotic had been developed and the overuse of existing drugs had peaked, the outbreak of COVID-19 and the investigation into its origin provided an excuse for the issue of superbugs to resurface. Bacteria that, through continuous mutations, have gained strength and rendered all existing antibiotics ineffective. These bacteria, expected to grow even more powerful in the years ahead, may become a serious threat to the future of humanity. As Davis had said back in 2013, resistance to antibiotics will be even more dangerous than terrorism, something like a ticking time bomb, predicted to claim one life every 3 seconds. COVID-19 was a wake-up call that made the importance of this bomb clearer, a bomb that humanity has little time to defuse. Experts have offered crucial recommendations for the time remaining so that the experience of COVID-19 will not be repeated. Confronting superbugs requires cooperation among politicians, the medical community, and the people of the world. Governments must invest in the development of new antibiotics in collaboration with pharmaceutical companies. Passing laws to reduce the use of these drugs in the livestock industry is the next step. The medical community must minimize antibiotic prescriptions so that they can regain their original effectiveness. Changing the culture of medicine among humans is also one of the most important conditions for overcoming the crisis. People's attitudes toward antibiotics and their use must change. The belief that all illnesses can be cured with this drug is a mistaken notion of recent decades, a belief that new experiments have proven false.
Dr. Chris Wired is one of the last working ethnopharmacologists, who are scientists who go into the wilderness to look for plants that can be turned into medically viable drugs in humans' ongoing war against disease.
The last hope for human race survival, I believe, is in the rainforest of tropical Asia. The pharmaceutical wealth of this land is immense. A jungle is not a peaceful environment. Trees fight with trees. Trees fight with insects. They all fight and communicate. And they use chemicals. And we are looking for those chemicals. But we have no time. What would happen if we've got major pandemias? Millions of deaths. This is no joke. It is now or never. We don't break it, right?
Right. Yeah.
We just bought a guy. Slow, slow, slow. Okay, that's great. Can someone take a piece off the stem there?
Just very carefully taking some branches off a tree in hopes of curing mankind of disease.
Okay, can I have that guy here? All right. Okay. We've got something interesting here. This is an absolute sign of Rubiaceae family. Mm-hmm. That plant contains alkaloid. That one is a very rare one. And we're going to make some collections of that guy. My sixth sense to me, you've got something.
Yeah.
That's a great time we've done.
Have you seen this plant before?
Never.
In the jungle?
Yeah,
no,
never.
This is the first time.
That's a good one.
Wow.
Wonderful.
The book Bald's Leech Book proved that the way to fight bacteria was the same old method. By turning to this manuscript, doctors were able to arrive at a new combination for a plant-based antibiotic, a potent remedy that, as in the past, could eliminate infections. They continue to recommend the development of new antibiotics and the reduction of current drug use, but their new outlook is a return to nature. Now there is talk of antibiotic properties of algae, as well as discussions about the therapeutic effects of honey and its potential as a substitute for synthetic drugs. These are natural methods of escaping the antibiotic trap. A drug that not long ago was humanity's bait for hunting bacteria, but has now become a trap of death. A trap as numerous as the inhabitants of the earth.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا. نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mahdi. Thank you for having me. And assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program.
Thank
it's a
you
pleasure
for
to be with you.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, Brother Muhammad is going to talk about the music or the musical miracle of the Noble Quran. Then, we all are going to listen to a recitation by a famous reciter of the Noble Quran, and at the end, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation from different aspects. Stay tuned.
Inna
in the first part of today's program, we are going to talk about the miraculous music of the Noble Quran. Up to now, we have talked about different aspects of the music of the Noble Quran, such as the intervals of the Noble Quran, the ease of understanding and remembering of the Noble Quran due to its rhyme and rhythm and arrangement of the letters and words. We talked about the length of the verses of the Noble Quran and some other aspects. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about a new subject.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, in the previous program, we also talked about how the Quran, you know, it penetrates the hearts, and those who have piety, when they listen to the verses of the Quran,
they are impressed.
Yeah, not just impressed, they become very humble, mm-hmm. and like their heart breaks.
In Arabic, we say khushu'.
Yeah, kharru sujjadan wa bukiya. Even tears flow from their eyes when they listen. That's if a person is very pious, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. Or he has a very tender heart, that's what would happen. And this shows that person is very God-wary and has a very good heart.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us among those groups of people.
Yes. Just a thing I want to add to this from our previous discussion is that the Quran was and is so beautiful that even the stubborn Arabs, they also acknowledged the beauty of the Quran. They appreciated the eloquence of the Quran. A person by the name of Walid ibn Mughayra, he himself was like a person who knew a lot about literature, Arabic literature. He was a poet. He knew a lot about the eloquence of the Arabic language and the elements of the eloquence of Arabic. When he heard the verses of the Quran, he said, "This is not the words of a human being." What did he say? He didn't say that this is the word of God. He said, فَغَالَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَرُ. This is a kind of magic that is extremely effective. So even those who did not believe and were not willing to believe in Allah, they acknowledge that this Quran is not something that a human being can bring.
Yes.
So,
subhanAllah.
A lot of people among Christians and Jews and non-Muslims, they say that Prophet Muhammad, he got the Quran, he derived the Quran from their books, from the Gospel, from the Bible, from the Torah, from the Old Testament, Book of Genesis, and all that doesn't make sense.
Well, Prophet Muhammad was illiterate.
Illiterate. And how could he memorize all the things that they said? And also, the things that the Quran says is totally different from what those books say.
It's more complete.
They are incomplete. The Quran is perfect. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ إِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. If it wasn't from Allah, you would see a lot of discrepancy and a lot of conflict and contradictions in Quran.
Why a lot of verses?
وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. You would see a lot of it. But in those books, we see a lot. But in the Quran, we don't see anything.
We see that actually some verses approve some other
exactly.
verses.
Exactly. The verses approve. Or they say it from another
aspect,
yeah. another direction, another orientation, another side to that issue.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Now, dear audience, in the second part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We're going to listen to the recitation of verse 21 of Surah Al-Hashr, recited by Sheikh Ismail Tantawi. Dear audience, let's enjoy it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
الله الرحمن الرحيم لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون صدق الله العلي
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Al-Hashr, verse 21, recited by Sheikh Ismail Tantawi. And our brother Muhammad is going to analyze this recitation from different aspects.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Okay, this recitation was very good in terms of using the maqamat to convey the meaning of the verses of the Quran. Also the voice, the pitch of the voice, the register of the voice to convey the meaning. It's about how Allah says that if this Quran was to be revealed to the mountains, if we sent this Quran to the mountains would shatter, they would cleave asunder because of their fear of Allah. Khashyatillah. This is the glory and the sublimeness of the Quran. Just like we said, it shows the glory and the power of the Quran that if it was even revealed to rocks and mountains that are very strong and unshakable, would shatter. They would split. And this is the power of this is the depth of the Quran in every way, due to the miracle of the Quran and also the eloquence of the Quran and every other thing.
And what maqam did he use?
He uses maqam Hijaz. Mm-hmm. Maqam Hijaz is made of Hijaz and rust. He uses rust From لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا. When he reaches خاشعا متصدعا, he changes to حجاز. This is actually the way of using مقام حجاز. The top note is the rust, the bottom part is حجاز. So by using this rust and then حجاز, he shows the difference. He, you know, he's saying لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته, you would see it. How would you see it? خاشعا متصدعا. This is حجاز. He uses حجاز for, he, you know, he separates this.
It's a kind of if clause.
Yeah, it's like he wants to show the difference.
If this,
what
then
happens?
That.
Yeah, if this Quran was revealed to the mountains, what would you see? This was in rust. This part of the sentence was in rust. خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدَّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَزِنْ حِجَازِ. And when he reaches وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, again he changes the maqam a bit. He uses maqam حِجَاز كَار, because this part of the sentence is actually it's a new sentence. It's the conclusion of this verse that if we whenever we mention such things, Allah says, whenever we mention such things, yes, as just this part of the verse, that one's in the Quran, the mountains will shatter and whatnot. This is so, these are actually parables that Allah makes for people so that they could think, so they apply reason.
And the tajweed point, brother?
The most important tajweed point in this verse is the laud in Nadribuha. The laud is Sakin. And laud is a letter of Rakhawa, contrary to popular belief,
yes,
that it's a letter of Shadda. But that's not the original way of pronouncing laud, even though most people pronounce it like a letter of Shadda. But no, it has Nadribuha. We hear that the sound is
lengthening. So it
so
is
this is why this is what makes
explosive.
It rakhawa and not shidda, because shidda means you have to say naqribuha.
Plosive actually.
But we don't hear that. Yeah. And there's also no qalqala, because if it was like a dal, we would say nadribuha, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we say naqribuha, we hold the
because it can be lengthened.
Yeah, it has istitala, the lengthening of the consonant.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان هو القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
before over a million times. Who would ever thought that it would be our time? I just know it, 'cause you're the one. It ain't a selfish love when I'm with you. Remind me of the morning so enough. it's true, I'll just say it. You are the one. Won't you be my BFF forever? Won't you be my partner after this world? We'll see when we believe it together. The dreams are meant to be, 'cause you're the one. Every single day, I'll just say it, 'cause you're the one. And when times are tough, we've got the world to see. Standing right beside you is where I wanna be. I just know. Just over a million times. Who had ever thought that I could call you mine? I just know it, 'cause you're the one. And when there's gray in our hair, we've not much to do. I wanna spend the rest of my days with you. Oh, don't you know it? You are the one. Won't you be the one?
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuning to Iran Radio, broadcast from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host for the next hour. Iran Radio, and interesting facts about Islam. Islam's tradition of oral recitation developed into an efficient vehicle for mass-produced handwritten literature. A single Muslim reciter would read a book out loud to a group of scribes who copied his spoken words simultaneously. Europe, in contrast, used a much slower system. Monks copied books individually and one at a time. Gutenberg's movable type printing press was ill-suited for cursive Arabic and was only slowly adopted by Muslims. However, when lithography was invented in Germany in 1796, which used drawing on stone with ink to produce illustrations, Muslims eagerly adopted this method of printing. It replaced hand copying to make multiple copies of the Holy Quran and Arabic newspapers and books. And now we listen to the continuation of our schedule on Iran Radio. We start off this hour's programs with dialogue. The program looks at the most important conversations between Shia imams and their followers, questioners, and leaders of the other Islamic faith and sects. And our final program this hour will be Youth Station, a program all about young people and dealing with topics related to youth. Stay with us for this hour.
We have to have a very fair assessment of this academic and intellectual icon of early Islam.
His impact is more pronounced in jurisprudence that he formalized.
And tens of thousands of statements and teachings have reached us from Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam.
This is Dialogue, an introduction to the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue, and I'm your host, Mahdi. Today, we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the history of Islam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Please stay tuned. The sixth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, was an incredibly prominent character in the history of the Muslims. He benefited humankind with his highly scientific achievements, many of which had never been seen before by humanity. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam's instructions in the acts of worship and transactions and his contribution in the field of legislation were amazing achievements that had not occurred before amongst the Muslim masses. And his eminence also had a positive and active share in the establishment of human culture and civilization. The sixth divinely appointed Imam, the son of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, an individual who was divinely appointed by the Almighty Allah, was known to have improved the general public lives of the people and the Muslims, and he was an individual, a divinely appointed Imam, a man from the household of the Holy Prophet, who enhanced human thoughts and discovered many of the secrets of this universe. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So there's a very interesting conversation that occurs between one of the founders of the Islamic schools of thought, specifically the Ahlul Sunnah school of thought, and the founder's name is Abu Hanifa. And so he is the founder of the Hanafi school of thought within the Ahlul Sunnah brothers and sisters. Now, the Hanafi school of thought is also the school of thought which has the most followers in the Ahlul Sunnah brothers. The large majority of our Sunni brothers and sisters are from the Hanafi school of thought. So somebody interestingly asked Abu Hanifa about Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And we find that Abu Hanifa had said to one of his companions that it was his honor to have been one of the students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And so the companion asked, you know, Abu Hanifa, that how is it possible that you consider it to be an honor? And were you actually a student of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam? And so Abu Hanifa, he declared that without these 2 years, he means the 2 years that he studied under Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and this is what one of the Sunni scholars by the name of Al-Alusi, he says that these 2 years are the 2 years that Abu Hanifa studied under Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that without these 2 years there would be no Nu'man. So Nu'man is the given name of Abu Hanifa. So pretty much here, Abu Hanifa is saying that his 2 years that he studied under Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is, you know, what gave him the relative expertise in the, you know, jurisprudential aspects. And so it's interesting, you know, he also stated that I have never seen anyone more knowledgeable in jurisprudence than Ja'far ibn Muhammad. And so, again, it's, you know, incredibly interesting that we find yet another one of the founders of the Sunni jurisprudential school of thought who is, you know, once again, very clearly, very frankly, very openly stating the expertise of Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam. It really, you know, goes to show the incredible expertise and perfection of Imam as-Sadiq alayhi salam. Of course, these are divinely appointed, divinely ordained. They are helped by the Almighty. They are given wisdom and knowledge by the Almighty Allah. And so this is how you see that in no place is it the other way around, where Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has talked about the expertise of so-and-so. Rather, it is the experts of the fiqh and jurisprudential field of the Islamic world that point towards the expertise of the sixth divinely appointed imam. This is Dialogue, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. IRIB English Radio, our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. And now let's listen to Sayyid Muhammad Jawad Al-Ghazwini.
The Imam alayhi salam taught his companions to respect diversity. Yes, have dialogue with other people. Get to know other schools of thought. It's okay, but hold on to your religion and show them the beauty of your path. This is a beautiful lesson that the Imam alayhi salam gives us. Now, unfortunately, many of us don't implement it in our era. We live in a society, believe me, most fellow Americans, they have no clue what we believe in. I myself, I've witnessed it. When they hear the teachings of Quran, Islam, the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, they are moved. They are moved. Just a few months ago, I came to a high school here in Toledo. One of the dear brothers had arranged for the visit. And you just speak to them minutes about Islam. And believe me, not deep philosophy. Simple things, what we believe in. They're inspired. Just look at the looks on their faces. Is that what you believe in? Is that what Ramadan represents? And they asked questions and they were so intrigued. They have no clue what we believe in. Believe me, most people in our country, in our society, they're not aware of the gems that you have. Go out and share them. That's how I honor the legacy of Al-Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Take these treasures and go out there in society and share these treasures with them. But yes, this requires that I know what the treasures are. The problem is, some of us, some families, we don't even know what treasures we have from Al-Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. That's why it's challenging. But let's discover these gems and share them with our society. And my dear brothers and sisters, don't be shy and have a, you know, and have weak self-confidence. No, I don't want them to know that I'm Muslim. I don't want to have this conversation with them. They are interested in knowing what you believe in. Learn the basics of Islam, articulate them well, and they will enjoy hearing about Islam. Believe me, some of them, they tell me, we can sit here for hours and hours and just learn about your faith and what you believe in. Because this is amazing knowledge that they don't necessarily have. Share it with your society. That's what the Imam alayhi salam would do. He would educate a generation
of scholars, and he dispatched them to different societies. Go, sit with the people, talk about different subjects, it's okay. And that's how the Imam alayhi salam preserved the teachings of his grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamidi.
Islamidi.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to all of you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of Youth Station. This is Nahid, having the honor of being with you, and here with me, I have the pleasure of being with my very dear sister.
Masuma, how are you?
Great. How about you?
Everything is nice.
When was the last time that you traveled?
It was this summer.
And are you a travel person, travel-y person?
Yes, I just love it. You know how travel brings you little and big inconvenient problems? And
really?
I love solving them. For example, little inconveniences are food or shower.
Do you care about them?
They're nice to solve.
The
solving
problems?
Them. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Because these problems are not that crazy hard. Because we're living in 21st century, so travel is not that hard of a thing. But it has some inconveniences. When I try to solve them, I feel powerful. I feel like, wow, I did it. I survived.
Interesting.
I love this good feeling. On the other side, my mom, she hates it. She's like, why?
So do I.
Yes. So she does not like travel as much as I do. Or maybe she did back then, but now she doesn't because, you know, age changes stuff. But yeah, I really, really love travel, especially if it has small, teeny tiny problems to solve.
Wow. Interesting. I don't like traveling a lot.
Really?
Yeah. And because of my own reasons, you know, I should have everything prepared. I mean, I'm not the kind of person who would love challenges on a trip. Probably because of my own lifestyle. I mean, I'm already busy. I'm doing lots of things every day. So once I go on a trip, I want it to be just relaxing and soothing and without any problems. I want it to comfort me, not to make me stop and then think, okay, how am I going to face the challenge of finding a good hotel? So this bothers me. Like, imagine when we go on a trip, 2 or 3 days before, I have to reserve the hotel. I have to make sure that the hotel is acceptable regarding my own criteria. And if everything is okay, I will go for it. But if, for example, I see one comment that is saying there once was found a lizard in that hotel, that's going to be canceled.
No, I'm not that picky. I let it be a little bit easier because for some travels, some journeys are not that easy, but you have to go through them.
And life itself is that journey.
Life is the big metaphor for journey.
See, this can be one of my own reasons. Like, we're living a life which is going to be a hard travel. Why should I go on the other travels which will be challenging for me?
A travel in bigger trouble.
Yeah. But in Islam, regarding our religion, this keyword of travel and trip has been repeatedly used. I mean, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, travel and you will be healthy and blessed. I mean, in Islam, this traveling thing has been repeated and has been highlighted.
Yes.
So this is going to be important. But why? Why is this this much important that we have to go on trips? We have to go to see different places with all its challenges.
So I think that why Islam told us to travel and the importance of it is because how it makes you a different person. Usually when we come back from a travel, we are not the same person that had left the door. We are a bit different. We have experienced something new. We have seen something new. Even if you're visiting the same city.
Right.
For example, maybe you're visiting your hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And you have visited your hometown maybe 10 times in your life. But I think still it can bring changes. If you let the doors to be open to you, you can see new people. You can not meet them. I don't mean to go and meet people because that is a bit inconvenient.
Yeah.
Too inconvenient for a small journey. But just seeing people, seeing life, seeing differences, it makes you a bit different. And I love this difference. These little experiences, these little differences that make you think out of the box.
So you mean travel can be the source of gaining wisdom about different groups of people, about culture,
yes,
about the differences, even
yes,
those differences that will hurt us or will make us sad for a second.
Yes.
Like, why did it happen to me? That culture shock, let's say. But this can be a source of wisdom, a place
indeed,
that we can start to grow.
Yes. It's what are we taking out of it and how it's going to change me. Of course, if I let these little shocks bother me and be a negative person, then it's not very nice. But if we be a bit positive toward it and try to change ourselves for the sake of improvement, it's going to be very easy. It's going to be nice.
And when we talk about travel, you know what? I was right now thinking of this word travel. To answer my own question that why is travel so important in Islam, I was thinking that maybe travel had different concepts regarding our religion. I mean,
mm-hmm,
one of them is the kind of travel that we go these days. I mean, easy peasy in a place that we like it,
yeah,
in an interesting environment. We had the kind of travel which was hard in the past.
Yes.
The travel that people had to spend days on a camel to just reach one place. They had the lack of food, lack of water,
yes,
and all these problems were on their way, and still they would have done it. Or even the thing that our Prophet was mentioning at his time, that we can travel for our life for the sake of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Remembering the story of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he went on a trip that he knew it's going to be the destination.
Yes.
It's going to be the end. But still he went there with all the difficulties that he knew from before. See, it's really scary. Like, you know that this trip that you're going on is not going to be easy. But you still choose to continue this path.
Yes.
Even
for the sake of growth and
yeah,
for the sake of God.
Yeah, so I think these examples, these samples of our role models can show that that what we mean by travel is not the kind of thing that maybe we are all imagining right now.
Yeah, it's not the perfect vacation that sometimes we think of, but travel can be very different. It can be for very harsh reasons.
Yeah. is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Youth Station.
The most important kind of trip can be our own trip towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, yes. The way we are moving on His way, the way we are imagining ourselves on a path that the perfect destination, the ultimate goal is going to be reaching Him. So we are also living on a kind of trip as well.
Yes.
We are on our path towards the greatness, towards the purpose of our life. But going back to the kind of things that we can see these days, the trips that all of us are going, our listeners might be thinking, okay, if I go on a vacation and there is no spiritual benefits for me, why should I go there? I'm a Muslim. I do have responsibilities. What are my responsibilities as a Muslim, as the character of a person who is going to travel to different places? And how can I take it to my advantage?
We have in our religion that we need to have a part of our, you know, schedule,
yeah,
specified for rest, where we can let our mind be in a state of peace, far from normal chaos. And I think journey can be a very nice thing, like a short trip to somewhere, as you mentioned, free, yeah, from chaos, free from normal, you know, schedule.
So true.
Although you might love your job and all, but you need to take a break so that when you,
yeah,
come,
right,
back, you're even more energetic.
That's a kind of self-discovery.
Yes. It makes you think of yourself, oh, I could be this as well.
Right. So true. And the other thing can be the spiritual journey. I mean, the way we can use our own opportunities by traveling to even different cities as the spiritual place for improvement. I mean, I can surely learn some stuff from different culture, from different groups of society. Maybe those people in another city who are doing something, I don't know, as a kind of, mm-hmm, worship. I can do the same. Maybe they know many things that can help me improve. So they are not useless. I mean, the trips that we go to, for sure, we're going to rest and we're going to spend some time just having fun, getting a little far from the work and from everything that we do face on our daily basis. But then here, this is the place that we can learn. We can go inside. We can learn things that can help us improve, even in this spiritual way.
And another type of, you know, travel we can have is toward nature. Different places that you can see beautiful part of nature, mountains, deserts, trees, forest, whatever. And also we have in Surah Al-Ankabut, verse 20, that says, travel through the land and observe how He began creation.
Wow.
It is nice that it can be one of the advantages of traveling when you look around and have a little connection with the nature and the greater connection with the creator of this nature.
Yeah, so true. So the way we're traveling does not mean that we're going to stop worshiping, that we're going to stop everything, keep them at home, and then leave. While we're on a trip, there are many things that we can see, even things that we cannot see on our own places, in our own city. Maybe we got used to seeing the beauty of nature, and we've got used to seeing the beauty of the creation of Allah. But then once we travel, our eyes are open to the new areas. And the other thing that can help us to understand the concept and the importance of traveling is traveling to break the routines. I mean, living comfort zone teaches us resilience, teaches us that not everything is going to be on the way that we planned. I don't know if you've experienced this before or not, but once it happened to me, but once, and it taught me many lessons. Well, my brother lives in another city, and it's kind of far from us. And last year, suddenly we had to go there. I mean, he called. He had some work with my dad, and they talked. And then the decision was that we had to go there for almost like a week.
Mm-hmm.
So we went there, and it was out of my schedule. I mean, I had my hectic, busy plans for,
yes,
every moment. I mean, it is this hard for me that right now, if I want to plan something for tomorrow afternoon, I have to change.
Yes.
I have to just talk to many people to change this and that so I can manage. So see how this situation of 1 week trip could have hurt me.
Yes.
I got so sad. I kept nagging and complaining, but we had to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no other ways. So we went there, and first I was all grumpy and sad, and don't talk
annoyed
to me.
Annoyed.
Yeah, just leave me. I'm going to just bear this and wait for it to end. But then when we were coming back after the week, and I wasn't like that there. I mean, once I saw them, my mood changed and I got better. But when we were coming back, I was thinking of this, that if suddenly everything finishes, mm-hmm. I mean, to look at the darker side, what if death happens? Mm-hmm. Happier side, what if this kind of trip happens? How will you react, and how can it teach you the lesson? I mean, there I learned that if everything stops at 1 second, you're not going to go to work tomorrow, you're not going to see your favorite friend tomorrow, yes. and you have to go somewhere else, be it the other world or be it another city. So this taught me that you have to be prepared for yes. everything.
And you have to be ready to give up on some stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Even for short term, which for you was a short yeah. term. And this can be an amazing lesson if we consider the concept of death, that all these lovely things that we have built is nothing to carry with us.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
should leave it here.
So true. And this is the moment that we have to change our idea. We have to be ready for it.
Yes.
I mean, we say normally that, okay, I'm ready for death. I'm a Muslim, so I know that this is not going to be mm-hmm. the end. I should be well prepared. But when it happens to us, like that moment that it came to me, that travel that came to me, we will be all sad. Like, I'm not ready. I have my plans. I have my routine.
Yeah, so we plan like there's not going to be any kind of interruption.
Yeah, breaking the routine can also be the other thing that will teach us many lessons regarding traveling. Also, Imam Ali alayhi salam had mentioned travel, for it provides 5 benefits: relief, earning, knowledge, companionship, and honor.
How beautiful.
See, these are great things that
yes.
Reaching even each of them can be so hard. But he's packing them all under the benefits of traveling. So in this way, by traveling, we can earn relief. We can earn, by earning, I think he means both the spiritual and the real ones. Mm-hmm. I mean, many people travel for business,
yes.
so it can help them. With knowledge, companionship, and honor. Also companionship.
How beautiful.
Yeah, being on a train with some people, once we enter, we don't know them. And mm-hmm. when we are leaving, we look around and we say, oh my God, they're my close friends.
And sometimes they're not.
Yeah, sometimes
sometimes
not,
the
sure.
other side.
And then we learn that
yeah,
we have to be wiser.
We learn that we have to be a lot wiser. We learn that there are very crazy people out there. We need to be very, very,
yeah.
very careful.
So traveling is not useless. It's full of benefits.
Indeed it is.
Full of different ideas, different things, different lessons that we can learn.
Yes.
And that's probably the reason why Islam has highlighted the role of traveling for a Muslim and in their own lifestyle. So we have to have some time. We have to spend some time traveling.
Yes.
Well, with the wishes of great travels ahead of you, let's end today's episode. Until the next time. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned into Iran Radio. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host here in Tehran for the next hour. We start off this hour's programs with our news bulletin. After that, we have Minbar. The program covers speeches on a host of subjects by very well-known Islamic scholars and orators. Our varied radio productions feature will follow. And we round up this hour's programs with Leader's Speech, presenting an English translation of a selection of the statements and speeches by the Honorable Leader of the Islamic Revolution.
Israel continues to violate the Gaza ceasefire agreement, launching more deadly attacks in the Palestinian territory. Afghanistan says at least 9 children and a woman have been killed in attacks by Pakistani forces in the Khush province. And finally, a new survey in the U.S. shows a majority of Latinos reject Trump's approach to immigration and are dissatisfied with how they are treated in the country. Hello and welcome everyone. World News, let's go ahead and get started with the stories that matter. Israel is pressing ahead with its attacks in Gaza despite the ceasefire agreement with Hamas. A Palestinian man has been killed in an airstrike targeting a town near Khan Yunis located in the south. A number of other